Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Bob Fosse isn't that nice a guy, you know?
Bob Fosse was willing to leave his daughter alone so he could go sleep with somebody. What a piece of shit. Like, honestly.
Did you notice who the guy that he left the daughter was? Like, that actor?
He looked familiar, but I couldn't, like, put my finger on it.
It makes me sad because he's so old now, but do you remember the last 5 years, the recording you watched?
Yes.
He played Jamie in that.
Really?
Yeah. Time ages us all, but dogs will bark forever.
Dogs will bark forever. That's why we should put them all in redacted.
But we're back again with Patreon with Cheese talking about Fosse Verdon.
Oh, it's Fosse Verdon time. I really like this show. I think it keeps getting better. And I hope everyone's watching along with us, because I feel like if you're just listening to us and not watching the show, you're missing out pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm. So how does this compare to all that jazz? Because it feels part and parcel, kind of.
I think they're very different experiences. I think as it goes on, like, all that jazz is much less grounded, especially when it gets to the ending and everything kind of turns into a fantasy sequence. Mm-hmm. And this show has, like, some fantasy sequences, but they're all, like, you always snap back to reality afterwards. Like, it's never, like, a fully, like,
we're just
going to end the movie with
surrealism.
Let's just fully embrace the surrealism. Which I think it works. It makes it feel more like a, like, you know, this is a real true story, rather than, you know, this is, like, a true story that is heavily interpreted by whoever is directing this movie.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear an Andrew DeWolf recap of what happens in this episode.
All right. This episode, I guess during the break between the two episodes, they finished filming Cabaret, and he started editing it. He's not having a good time editing it because he doesn't have his waifu there anymore. I think we all remember why she's not there.
Because he fucked a woman, a German woman, who immediately, like, yeah, left him as soon as, like, everything got wrapped up.
He also probably fucked a lot of other women,
oh,
too.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, let's just be real. But he wants her back. She is trying to get into a play, and that's kind of her arc, not arc, her storyline a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. And we're also getting, the whole time we're getting flashbacks to when I guess she had a son out of wedlock and
forced into
was,
a marriage with an abusive
forced
dick.
Forced into a marriage. Yeah.
Played by Mr. Rosewater.
Yeah, that was interesting as well.
Played by Hans of the Southern Isle himself.
But yeah, I guess Bob either forgot about it or really is such an asshole that he kind of ends the episode by just forgetting or saying something incredibly insensitive about it. So that's cool.
What do you know about raising boys? You only raised a girl.
Yeah. Like, does he just not know? Or
we find out later, like, it frames it there like that, but we find out later that he knows.
Well, I assumed that if she knew that he didn't know, she wouldn't have
reacted that way.
So,
because she's not an unreasonable person. I feel like Bob legitimately forgot, because anything that he wasn't actively involved with, he forgets, because he's a huge narcissist.
Yeah, and he's also drugged up on whatever the fuck.
Every pill imaginable for any problem he got, he's got a pill for it.
Any time anything good happens to him, he throws it away, like, within 5 minutes.
Yes. You are not wrong.
Like, she literally came, like, basically crawling back to him, like, I want to help with your movie because I don't feel satisfied with this play. And then he's just like, you know, you never had a son.
But the thing is, he thinks he's helping with that information. Like, he's just that brain dead sometimes.
He's just a big narcissist is really what it is.
But we get hints and foreshadowings of Pippin.
Oh, yeah, which is, I guess this coincides a little bit. This will be somewhat...
Next week is the big Pippin episode, but this one, they talk about it a bit.
Yeah, they talk about it, and we just talked about it. Yeah, we already get the discussion about how he needs to fix the show because he doesn't think it's good enough.
Plot description he gave there, he's like, there's an old man and a theater troupe, and they pack everything into an old box, and then they go place to place. It's garbage.
I mean, I wouldn't even call that a plot summary of Pippin. That's just the framing device.
And it's not even like the framing device that ended up being the show.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. You didn't even mention Pippin.
I mean, the show kind of doesn't mention Pippin. Let's be fair.
Oh, what are you talking about? Pippin is the actual lead of the show. Like, at least maybe not when he was reading about it. I don't know. The one I watched, Pippin was the lead.
No, it's the leading player that's really dead center of the story.
They're the most interesting character, but Pippin is in, like, every scene.
Too much dancing. Did you notice who's playing the MC in Cabaret? You didn't really get to hear his voice the first time he was on screen, but here, get to see him and hear his voice.
I couldn't tell who it was.
It's SpongeBob from
is that
SpongeBob
is that
the Musical.
Tom Kenny? Okay, no. So it's not SpongeBob. It's SpongeBob from SpongeBob the Musical.
Yes, but the thing is, his singing voice sounds so much like...
Did they end up cutting that song? I haven't seen Cabaret still.
No, that ended up in there.
That song seems bizarre, and I'm trying to figure out where it would fit into
the two lady song.
Yeah.
So what had happened was, in the Broadway version of Cabaret, there's just this two couple, and they mention that they sleep with other people, and. Yeah. And then Bob Fosse comes in with the movie and he's like, he's bisexual and he's fucking the same guy as his girlfriend and they're cheating on each other with the same guy. And so they cue that up.
He had to make it about him. He had to make it about himself, didn't he?
A little bit. And there's a whole subplot about like the menage a trois triangle that they're in where they're all just fucking each other.
Do they ever, you know, find out and then just... you know, not care and just do it anyways?
Well, eventually I think they find out he's a Nazi.
Oh, and then they're like, well, nobody wants to
And then
to
they
fuck
start fucking
now.
Each other again, and then she gets pregnant, and he, like, wants to have, and then she has the abortion. Cabaret works better as a musical than it does as a movie, if you would believe that.
I'm trying to even figure out what the hell the plot is. I mean, there's just Nazis and abortions and...
The plot of Cabaret is basically what we're doing right now. A bunch of people in the end of the world trying to distract themselves with light entertainment when really the world is ending and just being like, la 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 la, nothing's happening out there as the Nazis come trouncing down the street and you either have to run or pick a side and run or stay there and know you might be dead. And us as the audience know, like, if you stay, you're gonna die.
Jess, I think you're talking absurdities. I mean, why would we be comparing that to what we're living through right now? There's no right-wing militia groups out in the streets shooting people. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, fucking insane, right?
Jess, what are you talking about? You're speaking pure nonsense.
I've wanted to, like, for the last 4 years, like, I've, like, I gotta do something Cabaret-related. But that is such a hefty thing, and I know you're strapped on time, and asking you to watch, like, 8 hours of material just for one episode would be a big ask of you.
How about this? When we celebrate Trump's victory in November, we'll do a Cabaret episode.
No. I will be too depressed to talk about that very subject, not gonna lie.
If Trump wins in November, Cabaret the next week.
If Trump wins in November, I don't think I'll be around for another episode.
Sorry, I said the wrong word. Did I say if? I meant when. When Trump wins in November, Cabaret episode the next week.
I'm hoping for a miracle. I'm not gonna lie, my dude.
Yeah, okay. Well, you keep hoping, my man. It's not... probably not happening.
You never know. The polls are ranking up for Biden because everyone lies on polls.
Yeah, the polls looked really good for Clinton, too.
Because everyone lies on polls.
Fact, In fact, they didn't lie on the polls. She won the popular vote by 3%. It just wasn't enough to actually win.
Isn't that fucking stupid?
Weird politics break. I read something today that Biden would have to win by 5% to even be comfortable in getting the Electoral College.
The thing is, Biden just has to win one more state than Clinton did. Let's just say, blanketly, he wins every single state that Clinton did. He just needs to win one more.
Which is possible.
Yes.
So it's definitely not
And it
like,
was this
oh, man,
close to
no
Michigan
shot.
When Hillary was there. Literally, if it had turned blue, Hillary would have had the election.
Yeah. So basically, it's Jess's fault.
It is our fault. I remember that night and being like, I swear, because it was literally down to Detroit whether Michigan went red or not.
Dude, you didn't vote either. This is literally Jess's
fault. You fucker, I did vote. You motherfucker, I did vote. I proudly voted for
I'm kidding.
Harambe.
I'm kidding. Jess wrote in Harambe, and that single vote was what caused...
That is not true. I did not vote for Harambe. I voted for Hillary Rodham Clinton.
And Rod damn, we fucking... You didn't do it.
I did my part. I was not a part of the problem for that one.
Actually, you were, since your district just all switched to red. Your vote counted as a red vote, so...
Fucking explode. I was on my bike the other day, because...
Yeah.
And... A guy passes me because I tend to go slow because I want to kind of stretch all my muscles and not go, like, raging fast. And he goes around me and he's got a fucking Trump Pence sticker on his bike. He went out and got a specific Trump Pence sticker for his bike.
For just, like, a bicycle?
Yes!
Like, was it shooting smoke out of the back or anything? Like,
no, it was just some old fucker taking up a space
in the
world.
That's just a stereotype. Yeah, I don't know. Got a bit of a cult around him.
Yeah.
Kind of like Bob Fosse.
Yeah, Bob Fosse did have a bit of a cult. I think he would have been a better president in the end than Trump was.
He would have done more drugs and probably legalized those drugs, and that would have been a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. He would have had dances, like, choreographed at his inauguration. That might have been nice.
Dude, that actually would have been fucking sick.
Imagine Bob Fosse choreographing, like, a presidential dance. Like, that's a fucking tits.
Dude, I'm picturing it right now, and I'm like, man, we live in the worst of all worlds, don't we?
Andrew, I've got a moral question, so to say, for you.
Sure. Moral question? I'm all for moral questions. What do you got?
So whose side are you on during the should you have left for 30 minutes with your daughter alone with another man debate? Are you with Bob or are you with Gwen?
It's kind of hard to be with Bob just because the only reason he left was to go sleep with somebody. If it was, like, legitimate and he actually did have a real meeting to do, I'd be like, you know, he trusts this guy and it's a family friend, right?
Right. Like actual proper like, family
it's
friend.
It's really not actually that bad. But he didn't really have an actual reason to do it. He just wanted to go sleep with somebody. So it's kind of hard to be on his side. I understand that she kind of freaked out because...
she had a past.
Trauma. So I understand, it's understandable that she freaked out. Obviously, a little bit unreasonable, but not everyone is reasonable all the time. So
I don't
know
that's about, you're very, very reasonable all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I've never had an emotional moment of my life.
Andrew doesn't believe in emotions.
I don't believe in, I believe that if you don't believe in emotions, you don't have to have them. So, you know, that's where I am now. Facts don't care about my feelings. Which is why I don't have any feelings. That was a Ben Shapiro thing. Did you catch that?
I caught it. Are you going to tell me about a wet-ass P-word?
No, I checked. It's dry.
So you got a dap instead of a wop.
So what do you think of the weird baby crying stuff at the end?
Yeah, it's fucking
did
crazy.
The baby die?
No, not really. In real life, he just kind of like... I think he's still alive today, to be honest.
The thing is, like, they got so, like, emotional about, like, the little boy turns into an angel. And it's like, so is her baby die? Like, did her parents kill him? Like, like, is this, are we watching, what's it fucking called?
Bright Star?
Bright Star?
Throw baby off the train?
Yeah, like, I was kind of getting that vibe from it. But I guess not. I guess the baby's fine. Do we know what that baby grew up to be? Is he a dancer?
I'm gonna look for that, because I remember looking it up, because I was like, did the baby die? And then I was like, no, there's an interview with him.
He's like, so did you die? That was the first question of the interview.
That's just like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney.
So are you still alive?
Remember how everyone said that you died? Yeah, I remember. Well, did that happen?
Oh, I'm not really sure. We were on a lot of drugs back then, and anything happens, you know?
Okay. Yeah, there's so much to read.
Okay. So,
he's still around.
Still alive. Is she not allowed to see him anymore? Is that why she feels bad? Or, like, what was the circumstance of her leaving? They never really got into that. They show her giving the baby to her mom. At least I assume that was her mom. And then just leaving.
So, as he grew older, Jim, really the baby was named Jim, would go on to follow his mother's footsteps by taking up roles in acting and screenwriting, according to IMDb. He was in a bunch of stuff. He is now 73 years old and donates his time cooking in his California-based mission. I don't know what that means, but...
It's a Christian mission.
Yeah, he looks like a fucking weirdo. He looks just like Gwen Verdon, like, as a man.
Well, that's cool. What was he in?
Lassie, the TV show. He appeared on the Adam West Batman.
Oh, so he was in some, like...
Hard hitters, yeah.
Hard-hitting shit.
He was basically Colin Farrell as the Penguin. How does that look to you? Fuck.
The Batman? Is that what we're talking about now?
Yeah, aren't we always
talking... How does the Batman look?
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I really couldn't get a good impression of it. And I really only watched the trailer one time, and it was with the audio of the Cats movie, so I don't know if I really know what it's about.
Well, Mr. Mistopheles is about to murder a bunch of people.
Okay, trailers are all exactly the same, because, like, even the Cat's audio fits perfectly over it. It does not, like, even the cuts are to the same rhythm, almost.
They all cut on 4/4 time.
Well, yeah, but it's at the same tempo. Like, I don't know. Also, some movie trailers are in 5, because don't they do, like, the Mission Impossible, like, bum, 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 bum,
Mission
bum,
Impossible
bum,
does shit. That, yeah, but not mo...
Yeah, yeah, but there's also another famous song that does that is used in a lot of action movies, and I can't remember what it is. I think it's One of the Planets, though. But yeah, 5 time is used for action movies. I know it. I don't know if trailers use it, though. I just know that they do that. Oh, whatever. Bob Fosse can't dance in 5, so really, this is irrelevant.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
The editing process in those days looks exhausting.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine watching 4 hours of footage and then having someone ask, oh, so what'd you think?
Yes, I've done that before. I will say that. I've done that exact thing before.
Yeah, and did you turn to them and be like, what the fuck do you mean, what do I think? That was 4 hours of footage, like, what the fuck?
Well, all movies, like let's say a two-hour movie, is gonna be 4 hours in its first assembly cut, no matter what.
So, here's a question. Movies have gotten longer and longer. Is it because there's actually more footage being shot, or are editors just becoming extremely lazy?
Well, I think it's the former, for one, because literally we have no limit to as much as we can be shot. The limit is our memory cards, instead of, like, the end of a film reel.
That's true. But, like, you can't tell me It Chapter 2 couldn't have been cut down to an hour and a half.
I agree with you, but I think it's that the egos of directors have only gone up in 30 years.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I have all these shots, and like this one's like really cool, so it's got to stay in. And this one's got to stay in. And this one's got to
yes,
stay in.
Yes, and you need and a very, very, very strong editor that'll be like, no, you fucking idiot, we're cutting this shit.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you think it's cool, but the people watching it are going to be like, you know what? That didn't need to be there.
You spent all day shooting it, though. You don't need it. You really don't.
You don't fucking need it. Dude, I'm so salty about It Chapter 2. And honestly, I've rewatched Endgame, and I think I'm salty about that one,
Why
too.
Are you salty about Endgame? It Chapter 2 and Endgame are the same movie.
Yeah, and that's the problem. They didn't. Those movies did not need to be fucking 3 hours long.
Endgame earned it a little bit. It Chapter 2 did not.
No, It Chapter 2, I'm super salty about. Endgame, I'm still like, you know, did we really need the Professor Hulk in a fucking restaurant scene? Like, did we really need, like, all this time travel bullshit?
I think...
Did we really need all this?
I think we did. It works. It's fine. It's a coherent, effective movie.
Okay, can we at least start getting intermissions? And I think I've said this already.
You've said this so many times on this show.
I've said this so many times. Can we get fucking intermissions for... If your movie is 3 hours long... If a 2.5 hour long musical gets an intermission, can a 3 hour movie get a fucking intermission? Like, come on.
Can't believe you've watched Endgame again. I feel like that's a one and done. That was nice. I saw that in the theater. Time to be done with that forever.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I kind of can't remember what happened because it was so long. And that's not like so long ago that I watched it because it was so long. And then I rewatched it, and I can't remember what happened.
well, people got snapped out of existence, and then they try to
bring
them back.
Dude, isn't that ending fight scene is, like, literally an hour long.
But it's so much fun.
I guess. I could do, like, with trimming it a bit. Just show me the part where Captain America grabs the hammer, and then right from there, go into the end of the fight. Because that was the only part I liked.
I liked whenever when the dead man came through and he was like, Wakanda forever.
Oh, that's sad.
That's
now.
Really fucking sad.
Yeah. Now Disney's even crying about it. I mean, Walt Disney in his grave is like, I don't get to make the second movie.
Can I be a cynical bastard for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
So I watched Black Panther when they aired it commercial free on ABC. Like, I didn't watch it. I was walking in and out of it as my... family was watching it, and I was like, oh, that's Black Panther, right? I thought it was fine when I saw it in theaters.
The effects, honestly, when I saw it in theaters, the effects looked terrible.
Oh, yeah, the effects looked god-awful, but that was because they had the kind of B-studio working on that, because no one thought that movie would be as successful as it was.
Yeah, well, if the effects were better, it honestly probably would hold up a lot more.
Yes, but then they aired the Looking Back on the Life of Chadwick Boseman, which was... ABC promoting other Marvel movies, basically.
Yeah, I'm imagining because ABC is owned by Disney, as is every other media company. I'm imagining that they wouldn't be interested in promoting any of the other films he's been in.
They did. They 100% like, if you like this, you'd like Captain America: Civil War, The Infinity War, and Endgame, where he also made an appearance.
Yeah, he's definitely been in other movies though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend I know his history, but I'm sure he has been in other movies that are probably better.
He was in 42, where he played Jackie Robinson. He was on Get On Up, where he played James Brown. And he's very good at doing those and being these an impressive mimic in a way that it's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
He was a great actor, but when they cut to Kevin Feige, and he's like one of the only professionally recorded interviews for that... It's not just Robert Downey Jr. talking into his iPhone like, yeah, Chad was a nice guy.
Yeah, I met him on set once. He was cool, I guess. Do they even share a scene, really? Like, they don't share much.
No, you're right. Oh, my God. He showed up to his funeral.
Yeah, his imaginary funeral. Robert Downey Jr. didn't even have to be there for that scene.
Did they meet in Civil War? Did they, like, have any encounter? I know they're both in that movie. Tony was mostly hanging out with Spider-Man.
I think the most that they meet is just that, like, the airport fight scene.
Man, I bet that scene doesn't play well now.
Oh, dude, no, that... Civil War sucks.
I don't think it sucks. I don't think it could suck. Because I like so much of, like, the bait and switch of, like, you think it's gonna be a super soldier fight, but it's really a best friends fight. And I'm like, oh, that's fun. That's good screenwritery shit.
Yeah, I guess.
It's an effective script, but so boring to watch after that. The only Avengers-ish movie I can watch now is Age of Ultron. I think that's the only good Avengers movie that's rewatchable in its own thing.
I think the Avengers at this point feels so small compared to the
Guardians of the
other
Galaxy.
Ones that have come out. Yeah, it's just like, the fuck is just Loki just kind of getting his ass kicked.
I never liked that first Avengers movie, though. I never liked that one.
I think Infinity War is good.
Infinity War is boring, because most of it's just like a boring fight scene.
I think that's the problem with it, yeah. If you cut all of the Wakanda stuff, it would actually be pretty decent.
Well, the Wakanda stuff is kind of important.
Yeah. Maybe if you cut, like, a lot of the Wakanda stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like they did that already. That's why Captain America's barely in that movie.
Yeah. If you cut the Wakanda stuff and replaced it with scenes of Paul Rudd in his house, that would be the perfect Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I think we've gone on long enough.
Let me make my point about Kevin Feige for once.
Okay.
I'm getting back to that. Kevin Feige just looks so pissed and angry and passive-aggressive in this whole interview all about Chadwick Boseman. He's like, yeah, he was great. Yeah, and he's just... You can see the anger behind his eyes.
I wonder if they knew he had cancer.
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
If not even the director of Endgame knew. It looked like Kevin Feige was real pissed that he didn't know, to be honest.
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't have had him sign a contract to be the main character in one of the fucking franchises if they knew he was gonna die soon.
Yeah, he looked real fucking pissed.
Yeah, but they can't say that because, you know,
someone just died.
People would be extremely upset, but, you know, some of these people, you know, that are higher up in the company, they don't particularly care whether or not people die.
No, look
at
Amazon.
They probably care a bit more about the fact that their second movie in the franchise is dead now.
And, like, their biggest franchise outside of Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, so... Because Black Panther 2, I'm sure, is still going to happen, but what are they going to do?
Make it about Shuri. I like her.
Yeah, not everyone likes her.
What?
And I'm not, like...
What's wrong with her? Like, she's... fine.
She's a girl.
Oh, sexist people. I gotcha.
Yeah, which is a part of the market that they need to appeal to.
Is it because obviously Captain Marvel did okay?
Well, I am not saying they need to appeal to them like that they actually need to. I'm
sure
saying
he turns
in
mega.
Their mind,
make America great
mind,
again.
In their mind, you know, that's money that they're not going to make. Then again, spin it. Just do the spin that they did with Captain Marvel. Just like create the controversy, and then everyone's like, "Oh, all these sexists hate this movie. I'm gonna go see it."
The Ghostbusters,
and then everyone talks, and then yeah, Ghostbusters, and everyone talks about your movie for like 3 months, and it's like you go and watch it, and you're like, "Wow, why did anyone give half a fuck about this movie?"
Wonder Woman felt more like a feminist piece than Captain Marvel, to be honest.
They actually made a mistake not spinning Wonder Woman more as like a in trying to stir up that controversy.
Because I think movie's significantly better than Captain America. I think Wonder Woman's a much better movie.
You mean Captain Marvel?
No, I think Wonder Woman's better than Captain Marvel.
I mean, it obviously is better than Captain America. Who gives a fuck about Captain America 1? But Captain Marvel is the contentious one, I think.
Yeah.
To be honest, I went to see Captain Marvel and I like wanted to pretend to like it, but I couldn't
bring myself to it.
It really is just not a good movie.
I don't think it's a bad movie. I love the things that aren't Captain Marvel in that movie, like Talos and his entire family thing. I thought that was actually great.
That's the thing. I think, and I don't want to sound, because there's a lot of people that are just like actually sexist pieces of shit
right, that
fucking hate her because girl bad. But she really just isn't right for the role. Like, she just does not do a good job as that character.
I think a lot of that has to do with direction. Because she is a good actress, and I think she can get there. And I just don't think the directors from the first one really had a strong thing Like, they, you know who's directing the second Captain Marvel now, right?
I don't.
Nia DaCosta. She's directing the Candyman remake, which looks great.
Well, that's exciting. I'm definitely still more excited about the Candyman remake than any new Captain Marvel movie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for the the Candyman movie more than I am for any other movie. I hope I get to see it. Yeah.
I hope they keep the theme.
Of bees?
But not enough. Like, no.
Oh, the actual the theme song.
I love the theme song so much.
I do. Do you know the story of Philip Glass behind that? I know we've been talking way too long. Philip Glass thought he was adapting just the... doing music for a short film, like, based on the short story that Candyman was loosely based off of. Then he saw the movie and he's like, this is vulgar garbage, but I've got a contract.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what he thinks about it. His theme is still incredibly good.
It is. And the movie's still incredibly good. It's like the Phantom of the Opera. Like, all the shit I like in a movie.
Yeah.
Watch Candyman,
the
guys.
The only thing I don't like about Candyman is the ending, which feels like a tacked on, like, the producer wanted to tack on a fucking stupid ending.
But it was so...
That's the only
but
thing
But it is
I don't
a
like.
Satisfying way to end that movie. It is not the artsy way. It is the dumb person way, but I love it.
It's the only part of that movie that feels, like, just dumb, though. Like, everything else is like, man, that was a pretty smart movie, and then it's just, like, dumb slasher ending.
I think the husband character is the dumbest part of that movie. Like, he's actively a terrible part of that story.
Yeah. He's also not entirely necessary to the story.
But yeah, that movie is fucking great. I don't really want to spoil it any further, because we do recommend it.
Oh, no, I absolutely recommend it. And I think, even if you know that it's going to end in a dumb stinger, like, that doesn't spoil the movie.
The thing is... When I watched that with my girlfriend, and she hadn't seen it before, when it gets to that point, she cheered. So maybe it's just hitting harder for people that aren't us.
It is a cheer ending. I mean, they build up that character as a horrible person, and then, you know, you get the big, dumb stinger. Haha, got him.
I think it's mostly the makeup they do on her that looks so ridiculous.
That's probably part of it.
Like, if they had really burnt her up, that would have been cool. All right, we gotta wrap this up. Well, Fosse Verdon, it keeps on coming, guys. We'll talk about it more next week.
Yeah. Also, if you're expecting us to actually talk about Fosse Verdon the entire time we talk here, we're not.
As you can tell. But we'll see you guys next week. No, it's the Fosse Verdon theme that plays here. So it's ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then goes all jazzy for a bit.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.